You're listening to The Plumbing Sales Coach, where we give companies the strategies and skills to create a massive customer following. Fresh. Thank you for making us part of Spotify's top 10% most shared and followed podcast. And now, your host, Chris.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Fresh Approach. I'm your host, CF, the Plumbing Sales Coach. And just recently, I had an opportunity to spend 9 days at Disney. It was a 10-day vacation with travel time. We spent 9 days at Disney, and man, did I learn a lot. We stayed at a Hilton Vacation Resort property, very close to the Disney World properties. So we got a chance to experience Hilton. We got a chance to experience Disney. And then we took the airline Southwest because, well, we have 10 people going. It was a huge group. We basically had to charter a plane. But we took Southwest down there. It was a nonstop flight from Indy to Orlando. And we took some family. We took myself, my wife, the six kids that are still residing at home. My oldest son at home's girlfriend came with us and joined us for the trip. And then my oldest son and his girlfriend, they flew down. We flew them down to meet us out of Virginia. We had a blast. We had an absolute blast. We had a great time. Disney really rose the occasion and did some things that were unbelievable. We had a couple of mishaps, we'll say, with our experience. But, man, Disney just absolutely went above and beyond to handle it. And what's interesting about that is the mishaps weren't even their fault. They had nothing to do with them. But yet, on the other hand, we stayed at Hilton Vacation Property, a resort, I'd say a high-end resort, and they caused mishaps and did the absolute least to resolve it. And so we're going to talk about what happens there. Southwest also, we had a good positive, fairly positive experience with them. We had one little weird moment flying back where the flight attendant got upset at our baggage in the overhead compartment and took it out on it. And then I just reminded her gently that that was our stuff. And she stopped and apologized. I don't know what was going on there. But outside of that, it was a pretty good experience. The experience with Hilton, though, it was telling because it happened on so many levels, and I'll break that down where they messed up. But what I really want to talk about today is this idea that it's a culture thing. You know, I remember standing in the lobby of Hilton, and with the third poor experience I got from the third employee from the third department. It was unbelievable when I break this thing down. I just realized, I looked at my wife, I said, oh, it's a culture thing. It's a culture thing. And this is bigger than just the employees that I'm dealing with. This is how they're probably treated. This is probably how the company's ran. And it really blew me away. If you go back 3 or 4 years ago, I did an episode on Hilton and how they became one of the top companies to work for years ago. I don't know that they still rank high. I haven't looked into that. This is a property that was it's a different company. And 2 years ago, Hilton acquired them. Maybe they're working on the culture still, but man, was this a poor experience. And the way I was treated was poorly. And it got me thinking in plumbing and service plumbing with our own companies, even with if you're a technician listening and how you may drag things in, the culture at home may drag into your work life and how you operate. And, you know, as an employee in the past myself, I understand where you're coming from and what that's like, but also as an employer, I know aggravating and difficult that can be to have to deal with somebody else's personal problems inside of the business. And then that stuff carries over. Well, when the business owner brings their personal problems into the business, it really causes problems and the way they treat people and the way they go about things. But I also want to kind of take away this other concept or talk about this other concept. And that's the idea that what we focus on is what we are, what we become, what we end up really identifying with, or people identify us with. For example, if you're an owner that walks around constantly talking about money, like, hey guys, we got to do more revenue. It costs money to run the business. We got to make more money. Like, it's not free. I can't just pay you. And if you keep saying things like that, talking in that manner, well, then they're going to think it's all about the money. And that's what's going to bleed over to the customer. It's always going to be about the money. This is going to play out in so many different ways. This could be why your techs always get price objections. It's amazing to me that everyone goes, well, you know, our area is different. No one's area is different. No one's area is different. We have clients in the UK. We have clients in New Zealand. We have clients in Australia. We have clients in the US, California, small market, big market, Texas, Indiana, middle of nowhere, Ohio. We see it all. We see it all. And what we find is that it's really just the company. It's the culture inside the company. That's what's affecting all this. Some companies have zero price objections ever. Why is that? How is that? How are they magically getting the right customers? It's not a marketing solution. It's the culture solution. Now, I want you to think about this for a quick second, because if you have employees coming to you asking for money, I need to make more money, or they're calling you greedy, or they think you're greedy, or your people are complaining because you bought something, maybe you're doing that to yourself. Maybe it's the way that you're handling your focus on solutions, your focus on problems, and it's always about the money. That's going to carry over. That's what's going to duplicate. That's what's going to spread. So when you really think about this idea of culture, it's not just what you say. You can put the core values up and you need to. You could put the mission statement up and you need to. You can communicate it till you're blue in the face and you need to. But if you're saying and behaving in a different way that's counter to that, that's what's going to stick. It's like parenting, right? Your kids do what you do, not what you say. What are you doing? Okay, that was the first thing I realized. I said, man, that's affecting. I don't know what they're saying behind closed doors, but man, that's affecting the way they're handling me right now. I'll tell you, the first problem we had was housekeeping came in, did their thing, and they didn't latch our doors. So they have a messaging app. So I text them and I said, you didn't latch our doors. They said, well, we can't deadbolt the outside door. And I'm like, no, you didn't shut it. I'm not talking about locking it. You didn't even shut it. When we got home, we were able just to push the doors open. We're at Disney all day long, so all of our valuables, all of our stuff. I've got little kids. I don't want to have anyone hiding in the... I don't want to have to even worry about that stuff. We specifically pick particular resorts because we don't want to have to worry about specific things. This being one of them, security and safety. We're particular. I think everyone's particular when it comes to making sure that their doors are shut all the way. So we went back and forth. They sent maintenance. That was a whole thing. And it's like, it's not a maintenance issue. It's just you shutting the doors issue. They're trying to educate us. We're trying to educate them. They're not listening. At this point, I'm not listening. Go two more days. Same thing. They do it again. Now I'm up there talking to a separate manager. On top of that, they're lying to me. They're telling me that because we got one big three-bedroom condo suite where it's like a two-bedroom condo suite attached to a one-bedroom condo suite. So we basically have two rooms. One entry, then there's two doors going to each room. So you have this barrier entry. Well, inside the one room, the air conditioning goes down to 62. In the other room, it maxes. It won't go any below 68. So I hit them up. Can you lower the setting and unlock it so we can lower the temperature? We like it cold at night. Our family likes it cold at night. They said, well, we can't because it'll freeze. I said, well, yeah, I think you just told the wrong person that. Because I know how this works. No, it doesn't freeze. First of all, we're in Florida. Ain't nothing freezing down here. Second of all, that's not how it works. You can lower it. On top of that, even if I didn't know how it works, my room goes down to 62. How do you explain that? So I called them out on lying to me. And they agreed, yeah, you're right. We're sorry. And I said, look, I know why you keep it at 68. It's the efficiency. You just don't want the temperature being ran all day long at 62 degrees. And there's owners of these condos. We get that. But lower ours. Don't lie to us. Just tell us you can't do it tell us the real reason. So they adjust it and they fix it. But then they leave the door unlatched again. So we go through this whole process. And what was crazy to me was when I went in, this is literally the fourth time I'm complaining to a manager in person. And we're only been there for 6 days of the 9 days. And I say only, but 4 of 6 days, I have to go in there and talk to a manager. And I'm in the last manager, I'm talking to her and I said, look, came in here a couple nights ago, blah, 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 and this was her response. Well, I work nights and this is the first time I'm hearing about it. And I was like, what? So you're saying that I'm making this up? So we had a little discussion about that and she got real defensive. And I said, are you sure you can handle this? Like this, I don't know if this is a good, and I got a little snarky. Like, is this a good position for you? I don't think this is a good position for you. This isn't where your skill set matches up with the needs of the job. You have zero empathy. You have no apology. If you can go back and listen to my podcast, I don't know how long ago we did it, but we did one on how to deal with upset customers. I should have just turned on the podcast for him. Be like, here, why don't you come back in 30 minutes after this podcast. Let's try this again. Because I got a senior manager out there, and that gentleman handled it correctly. It was on deaf ears, I found out later. But at least he faked it, you know. Look, just poor culture. So the second point, the first one is what are you talking about? What are you making things about? That's what they're going to make things about. If you make it about the money, they're going to make it about the money. My advice to you is make it about the service. Make it about taking care of the customer. If you can't make an argument for your team to behave a certain way and so that it benefits the customer, then you probably shouldn't be making that argument. Okay, it's got to benefit. It's got to be about making the customer experience better always. That should always be the motive. That should always be the goal. That should always be the thing. That's what Disney does so well. It's a culture thing. Everyone knows that. They're dialed in. They know the goal. They even put them through classes and courses. They example it from the top down. My guess is they example it from the top down. I can tell you this, with a company with tens of thousands of employees, I'm experiencing it at the lowest levels at all times as a consumer. So somebody's putting off the right energy. Okay, what are you saying? What are you making this about? What's your focus on? The second one is, how do you view your customer? How do you view your customer? What I mean by that is, if you're complaining about your customers behind closed doors, if you're saying they're screwing us, they're ripping us off, then your employees are going to think that, and they're going to have that view. If you have a view that all people are cheap, if you're a technician right now and you're like, all people are cheap, all customers are cheap, well, you've put that view in your head. You've got that lens. Now everybody's going to be cheap because you're going to treat them as such. Look, think about it. It's really basic stuff. If you have two doors and there's a fire in the building and you think one leads you to safety and one doesn't, you're only going to go through the door that you think leads you to safety. You'll never even try the other door. That's how the brain works. It's pretty basic stuff. So if you think someone's cheap, you're not going to go through the motions to then build value and offer up bigger solutions because they're cheap. Why would you? You'll be wasting your time in your head. Therefore, shortcutting the process and shortcutting the experience for the customer and then making the decision for making them cheap. You'll make them cheap. Okay, if you're an owner and you think everyone's out to get you, your employees, your customers, everyone, then guess what? Everyone's going to be out to get you because you're going to start doing things and behaving in ways to do the bare minimum. And people are going to have to get more. To get more, they're going to have to take advantage of you, or they're going to have to do things to you. Now, good people will just quit, but bad people will play the game with you. See, good character will quit and move on. They'll put up with it for a while. Bad character will learn. They'll learn your patterns and they'll use it against you. So number one, you got to be careful what you're focusing on. You got to be careful what you're saying. You got to be careful on what you're making things about. And number two, what's your view of your customer? What's your internal view of a human, of the customer? Like, what are you thinking everything is about? When you get on the phone and deal with a customer, how are you handling that? How's your office staff here? What are they hearing? When you deal with another employee, what are they hearing? The way you talk to them. How you view them. You know, it's funny. I remember hearing this. This is such a good example. I remember hearing this thing from a pastor one time, and he said, you know, your kid's sitting in the back seat and you're on the phone and someone's like, hey, did you mail that? And you're like, you look in the back seat and you see the package still in the back seat. You're on your way to the post office and you're like, yeah, I mailed it. Get out the phone and then you go mail it. The person gets it a couple days later, no harm, no foul. The date matches up, everything's good. But your kid saw that. Your kid saw you lie. And that makes you wonder, are they doing that to me? So when you're on the phone with your customer, you're like, oh, Mrs. Whitaker, Mrs. Smith, Mrs. Stevenson's. Like, I want to, Mr. Whoever, I want to take care of you. Let's get this right. We appreciate your service. We appreciate the opportunity, your business. We appreciate the... And you say all that and you hang up and you go, I hate those people. Man, as an employee, I'm like, well, you were nice to me yesterday. What were you saying when I left? And we got to be really careful what we're doing here. How do you view your customer? How do you treat your customer behind closed doors in front of your employees? Because that's the whole thing, right? It's like this whole podcast is about the idea of culture. Culture comes from what you do, not what you say. So on the forefront, we know you're saying all the right stuff on the forefront. Hopefully you're saying all the right stuff on the front end. Your messaging, what you're saying in your meetings. Let's do it. Let's get it. But what are you saying around the water cooler? What are you saying out in the shop when it's just a couple of guys? What are you saying to your best guy? What are you saying to your management team? Because that stuff, they're talking. Look, I've been around some owners where after getting around them, I'm like, oh, I don't want to be around them no more. This is not the type of individual I want to be around. And I isolate and move on. Okay, what is that happening to you? Is that happening to you and you don't realize it? Like, why'd that guy quit? Oh, he quit because his dad went in the hospital, and it's this long story. Why'd that guy quit? Oh, because, well, he had a really good reason. Why'd that guy quit? Oh, because he found another job. He was going to move. Why'd that guy? Nah, there's something else going on. People don't quit jobs. They quit people. Okay, what are you doing? How are you viewing your customer? And how are you displaying that in front of your employees? Are you losing credibility with them? Are you losing any kind of respect from them? And then in other terms, are they just duplicating what you're doing? Are they doing the same thing in the homes? They're disrespectful to customers because they know that you're going to have their back, not the customer's back. There's going to be no repercussion. We can do what we want. We can treat people how we want. That's what was playing out. You know, what's crazy is, so the manager that I was struggling with, she goes in the back to get a senior manager. And she's gone for like 20 minutes, just me standing in the front lobby. So I looked over at concierge, this kid sitting there, he's probably 25, 26, and they're the timeshare salesman. I remember when we checked in, got our keys, then we went over to this other section, which was the concierge, and they offer you this awesome package if you come listen to their thing. We didn't go listen to their thing. We've been there, done that. But I went over there and I asked the guy, I said, hey, how long does it take to get a manager? And his response was, that was the manager. I said, no, I get that, but she went in the back to get a senior manager. Do you know how long that roughly takes? And he goes, okay. And I was like, what? I said, no, I'm asking you how long it takes. He goes, yeah. He said, I said that was the manager. And I said, I get that, but she went back there to get a different manager. I don't know which manager, but she went back there to get a different manager. He goes, oh, well, that's a different department. I was like, well, that's not really an answer. And he goes, okay. I said, are you serious right now? And he goes, well, I just don't feel like I can give you a good response. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I asked you a simple question. And my wife's standing there. My other son's standing there. We're not yelling. No one's even being mean. I'm just simply asking him how long. He had already made it up in his mind that he didn't like us. He didn't like whatever because he was over there the whole time and just decided to handle it that way. And I said, really? Okay. So culture. That's when I said, oh, it's a culture issue. I see. It's like everyone's comfortable with treating people poorly. I'll tell you right now, guys, I could go work for a company that treats people poorly. I wouldn't do it because I would never feel comfortable doing it. I would never feel comfortable in my own skin doing that, treating someone poorly, a customer that I would have a hard time with that. I can think back to one time in my career here at the Plumbing Sales Coach where I felt like I treated someone poorly and it was undeserving and it was uncalled for. And I actually reached out and apologized to them. I had tried a couple different avenues and eventually got them directly. And I reached out and apologized to them because I just felt wrong about that. This years later, 2 years later, 3 years later, that's how it works in my mind. Like, you should never feel comfortable doing that. Should not be normal. This was normal. He actually, while he's interacting with me, kept going back to his cell phone and doing whatever he was doing on his cell phone. If you guys can understand, I know some of you are losing your mind right now. You're like, I would have run across that counter and choked that guy. Trust me. I'm kidding. I wouldn't have. I wanted to. I'm not really that guy. I don't really go. I'm not a tough guy. I don't go around fighting people and stuff like that. But man, I'd tell you, I will say I went back the next day to get some towels and he was sitting at the desk and we did lock eyes for a few moments while I walked through the lobby. And come on, Chris, you're better than that. But I did want him to know that if there was a time ever, he might be the exception. I was just irritated. You know, we get irritated as customers, frustrated. I wasn't listening anymore. I wasn't my best version. For sure, they were getting no grace from me. And is that what we want? Is that what we want to do to our customers? You know, the last one, it's really just the same thing, but it's now it's how do you view your employees? How do you view your first customer? Are they real people to you? Like, do you actually have a relationship with them? Look, I'm not saying at all that there shouldn't be accountability. There should be accountability. Like, I own a business. I've owned businesses. I own this one. We've got employees. I have requirements. I have demands. We need to meet those. They know that. But they're humans. Like, we're all in this together. We're doing this together. This is a team effort. I've got a slightly different seat than other people on my bus, but we all are on the same bus. We're all on the same boat. We're all trying to reach the same goal. Everyone's got different motives why they're on the bus, okay? But we've got the same goals on that bus to serve you guys, to serve the community of Service Plumbing and coach, train, and equip, right? That's what we do. That's what we're about. We work with owners. We've helped you guys build every single process inside your company. We literally have a dialed in blueprint that we hand the owners and then we coach them through it. And part of that is training the technicians on how to run the calls correctly. Some of that scheduling, some of that CSR. It's full gamut, everything you can imagine. And it requires a big team. We've got Sonia on the team. She does all the this is why the podcast is now video. This is why the podcast actually sounds good. I'm not talking about my voice, just the audio levels are right. This is what they take. She cuts out a lot of the pauses and a lot of the little weird noises that I like to make. I make some weird noises. You guys don't get to hear them all because she takes them out. And she's doing that for you. And so that's a part of giving you guys a better experience. She's got a different way of supporting the team. Her way of supporting the team is making the content more desirable to receive, making the video quality better in our trainings and all the stuff that we do. And we got Brittany. Brittany's our owner concierge. She would never talk to any of our clients the way that guy talked to me. She would feel terrible on the inside. Brittany's just a good human. I don't even have to have a culture for her to be that way. But I'll tell you this, if I had a different culture, if I wasn't about taking care of you guys, she wouldn't work for me. Sonia wouldn't work for me. I guarantee you that. They wouldn't be about it. It's not about the money. I'm sure that's why they show up, but at the same time, there has to be something they can feel good about. Sonia talks about that a lot. Then you've got Mary. Mary is actually my sister. She's our growth strategy expert. She is the one when you guys want more information about products or services or how do I get a glimpse. You know, a lot of you don't realize this, but you can call her right now and get free access to some of our paid trainings. You can even join a coaching call. Like, we'll help, whatever you want, we'll make it all, so we can peel back the curtain, you can see what the product is, see what we're about, but that's who you talk to. She's all about taking care of people. It eats her up if we're not taking care of people. This is what I'm talking, this is culture. You got Patrick, he's our accountability coach. Annie also is our director of operations inside the company, runs the company, the operational stuff, but he's also our accountability coach. He coaches with us, with you, in you, for you, to you. And Bryant, another plumbing business owner that's also on the team. All of these people, Robert Avila, who's doing our training inside for our outbound, like all these people, they all care about taking care of the customer, helping, supporting, serving. That's the culture we have. That's who we attracted. That's who we kept. Has everybody on our team always been about that? No. Have we hired some people who came and went? Yes. Have some of our own team recommended people that didn't work out? Yes. I'm saying that because Sonia's in the room. Took a shot at her. Look, when you build something worth being a part of and people can see how they can be a part of it, that's when it really gets fun. And if you make it about, again, about that customer, if you've seen all 3 points today, number one, what are you making it about? What are you talking about? Is it the money? Is it how it affects the customer's experience? Like, what are you focused on? I say make it about the customer experience. The second thing is, how do you view customers? Because if you're making it about the customer experience and you view people, look, my entire team should know this. If we don't have customers, we don't have a job. If we don't have customers, we don't have a purpose. If we don't have customers, we don't have goals. If we don't have customers, we have no mission. It's about you. We can in the middle of things, not like some things that are happening with our customers, but that's what it's all about. The first customer is your employee. So that was number three. It has to be about that. That's what everybody in my organization, that's what they do so well at Disney. You're a cast member. When you're a janitor, you're actually a cast member. You're on stage. You're in performance at all times. It's about the audience. The audience is all around you. It's interactive. They're going to talk to you. They're going to interact with you. You stay in character. You're playing the role of a janitor. I talk to people at Disney. I'll go up to a restaurant, or especially the food service people, anywhere in there. And I say, how long you worked there? It's always 10 years, 20 years, 15 years. I've never gone to a restaurant and somebody said, I've been with these guys for 15 years. I've been here for 3 months, still learning the menu, and I came from this other restaurant for 4 months, and I came from that restaurant. And there's a lot of job hopping, right? But not at Disney World. And I'm like, you guys are, in my mind, I'm like, well, you're just, really, it's just you're a server at a restaurant. Just happens to be inside of Disney World. They don't see it that way. They don't see it that way. Look, I'm telling you, this is a big deal. I guarantee you, if I came to your shop right now and hung out with you guys for a day, ran calls, lived the life with you, ate and breathed your plumbing company, I'd probably see some of this. I'd probably see some of this. And I'd point it out and you say, it's not that big a deal. I say it is. It is. Unfortunately, one sentence can unwind the whole ball. You can spend all day long building culture, all week long, all month long. It just takes one sentence, one thought, one poor way of thinking. Now, the cool thing is if you're constantly on the right side of things, grace will abound. You can ask for forgiveness. You can apologize. You can say, I made a mistake. But if you're not saying I made a mistake, if you're not asking for forgiveness, if you're just living in it and you're just pushing the ball forward every single day with comments and thoughts, it's not going to go well. Your foundation is going to erode. You're going to have turnover. It's going to be hard to hit a stride. You're going to see some successes, but you're going to see some failures. We see companies do it all the time. There's one right now here in my local town. You know, they got 100 trucks. They're talking trash. We're the best. Everyone knows us. Just true, but they're also trash. They have a trash reputation, and now they're declining. And these people are out there making podcasts talking about how great they are while their company's falling apart because none of their employees are cared for, and so the employees aren't caring for the community, and the community doesn't care for the company. And it's just a little 360-degree cycle. In fact, one of my close friends, the guys that we use that do all of our branding, I forgot it was Ed and Lisa, they used this company, or they had this company come out, and then they hired one of our companies that is in our program. We have six companies or locally that's in our program. We actually have quite a few that have tried to get in, but we're out of room here in Indy. So if you're listening in Indy, sorry, we are maxed out. But they compared the two, and they said it's night and day difference, the way that whole experience went, the way we were treated, talked to, and everything. The one guy was really educational, but he was a salesman, and that was the angle. Versus the company that we recommended, that we coach, service-oriented, ended up doing the work, actually did some additional work. Good stuff. And this is a new water line, new sewer line, new water main. And look, it just really goes to show you how much the customer appreciates that stuff. They can spend their money anywhere. They want to be treated well. I think our employees should be treated well. I think we as owners want to be treated well. I think people in general want to be treated well. And it all goes about your view of people, the focus that you have, what you're making it about. If it's about you, guess what? That ain't going to last very long. That's going to come back, and that's going to bite you. Look, we love you, as always. Hey, I want to say one more thing. We're opening up a new product. It's awesome. It's sick. It's out of this world. You need to reach out about it, but it's our software that's coming out. And right now, we're going to be giving it away. So if you sign up for our – and we've changed our tech training to make it really affordable. I don't even know. I feel like at this point, it's like Christmas every day here. I'm not even joking, guys. We're talking about something we've traditionally sold for $1,800 a month. With a $2,000 startup for the boot camp, we've made it so cheap, and we're going to throw the software in for free. And then when the software releases, you'll never get charged for the software. You just pay for the training. You need to check this out, and we'll even give you some free training up front before you even hear about that. And this isn't one of those like Grant Cardone things where you come to my 2-hour seminar and get sold. No, we want you to come learn something so that you walk away going, I need more. We believe that's the best way to sell. So we'll just serve the heck out of you. Make sure you get your questions answered. Come to one of the trainings. I promise, I guarantee it will impact your company. And then from there, you can do whatever you want. We love you. As always, remember, serve your community in everything, not just plumbing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Plumbing Sales Coach Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And check us out on the web at theplumbingsalescoach.com.